You are listening to the Sideline SaaS Podcast, Episode 9, When the Margin of Error is Paper Thin.
Today, we're talking with local radio co-host Vontae Hill, who's coming on to break down the 49ers quarterback situation and tell us a little bit about their future. Later, we will be joined by Kansas assistant men's basketball coach Jarence Howard, who's in the area getting ready to play Stanford tomorrow night. And he's going to share with us how the Jayhawks have bounced back from their rocky start and tell us who he thinks is going to win the college football playoff.
Well, let's do it.
Let's get going. Hey, everybody. Emily Van Busker here with Kaylee Krish. Welcome to the Sideline SaaS Podcast.
If this is your first time listening, then welcome. The Sideline SaaS Podcast is produced every 2 weeks just for you, and show notes are found at audioboom.com.
Come back often and feel free to add us to your favorite RSS feed or on iTunes. And don't forget to follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at Sideline SaaS with 3 S's, or give us a like on Facebook.
And while you're at it, you can go ahead and follow the SaaS on our individual pages. I am at Miss Krish on Twitter or at Cakes88 on IG.
And I'm at MLNEM on both of those.
Those links are found in our show notes.
Now I think it's time to do something.
Get sassy?
That's it.
All right, guys, as most of you know by now, at least you should if you follow us on any social media, again, at Sideline SaaS, 3 S's, go check it out because we have some awesome videos from this last weekend where we covered our first NFL game. Emily and I covered the Raiders taking on the Dallas Cowboys.
Yep.
Emily, how was your experience?
It was very, very exciting. People say that the NFL, the argument is the NFL is more exciting than college. People like it better. And I've been saying that's for the birds for a long time. Because I'm a huge college diehard always. But I will say this. You can see why people say that when you go cover a game, an NFL game. It's different. It is electric. The music, I don't know if this is true of every place, but the Raiders' music was on point.
Mm-hmm.
Marshawn Lynch comes out, they start playing that Bay Area hyphy stuff, and there's energy in the fans. Yeah, the fans.
But that was the thing that because we're so busy. We cover so much
busy.
Stanford and even Cal.
But see, that's unique to Pac-12.
It is. Yeah. Because we didn't experience that when we went to Georgia. Although
exactly. They're
much more preppy, so they're not
they were
quite
very
as
polite.
Crazy. But
yes.
We were right in the black hole. And it was a little terrifying.
The thing that was nuts about that is when Jerry Jones walked right by us before the game, and he actually headed straight for the black hole on his way out, shook hands.
He is scared of shit.
No, he shook hands with every person there, and they shook hands back, and they asked for autographs, which I was very surprised.
I was surprised, too, especially in that situation where they're vying for a playoff.
They're
in contention for a playoff spot.
Honestly, that, that kind of notoriety in football transcends hatred, I think. So, it was cool to see. It was kind of a neat crossover of NFL. So that was cool to watch, and it was unbelievable.
I think it definitely has us, like, we want to cover more NFL.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, we
it's different.
It's different, but we posted that video, and you got a lot of compliments on it, obviously, for your filming, but also, like, I was kind of surprised at how many people were like, look how fast the game is.
Yeah.
And in my head, I'm thinking, well, don't you watch it?
But that's funny.
It's not. Like, you don't really see it until then. And I was standing next to you on the sidelines, which no one will ever know because I'm in none of the pictures.
I tell you to stick by me. And this happens every time Kaylee gets cut out
there
and she gets upset.
There wasn't any
You make room.
Anyway.
You could have come stood and I would have shoved over.
But
The speed of play
is crazy.
Is crazy. And I noticed that when I looked at Carr, everyone's looking at Carr. And then all the people on Twitter were like, no, look at Heath.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started looking at him, it's like the whole video changed for me.
Well, and that's what was funny is that that's who I was watching
originally?
When that play was happening.
Oh, you were watching that. Oh,
I
wow.
was watching him because I was terrified of getting
hit.
He was
going to run into you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's who I saw. And it was, and I've been hit by a college player. Like, it wasn't a big deal. Like, I mean, it hurt, but it wasn't. I didn't get knocked down or anything, but It was fast, but this was like lightning speed. Yeah. It was crazy.
Even in the video, it was cool. It was really cool to watch. So that, I gotta say, it was one of the coolest experiences, and we got to be right there for that game-changing moment. And you know, to all the people on Twitter saying, you know, Derek Carr should have gone out of bounds, should have done this, should have done that.
Take the field goal, tie the game up, whatever.
You wouldn't be saying that had he gotten in the end zone with the ball. So I think I give it up to him for being the gamer, for having that mentality that he's not going to fail. You know, and that's what he said after the game, is that we leave it out there on the field. And that's what he did. He really thought he would get it. I think on 9 times out of 10, I think he gets that. One interesting thing about it was he talked about the glove, how he was wearing the glove and that it kind of slipped out of his glove. The funny thing about Derek Carr is that he hates wearing gloves. And the only time he wears them is when he had that finger injury prior. So I'm thinking wheels are turning. Maybe he's got some injury that was not disclosed. Why else would he be wearing gloves?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was a point that was brought up, and I thought that was very interesting. So
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that.
I know. But we should trust Derek Carr's judgment, right?
I think
so.
Don't
you think?
I mean, he's the one out there playing in the NFL. None of y'all are.
he makes good decisions. He makes bad decisions.
Like every quarterback,
he makes the decision, and it's up to him. The team puts their faith in him, so we
and
should.
And they're behind him all the way. You know,
he knows he's not always right. He says that, but
he
says a lot of things that are good.
One of the other things that happened during that game that I don't think anyone has ever seen before is the first down measurement with the piece of paper. We were sitting in our little, photo workroom area watching it on TV, and
response.
I literally looked at you and said, what did he just do?
I didn't comprehend at the time how big of a deal that was going to be.
I didn't know it would be that big of a deal, but I was so shocked. Mm-hmm. And then his smirk after he was like,
I know,
oh,
and everyone talks about that. I don't remember seeing that either.
I saw that as it was happening. I was like,
creepy old man.
Maybe he was smirking because it was like, yep, it was that close. Ha ha. But also it could be like, I'm just going to screw you guys. Who cares? I don't know.
I don't think it was that. But the funniest part to me about that is Marquette King, the Raiders punter, who is notorious for, his social media game and his punts.
And making punting
great
again.
He's great. So shout out Marquette King, social media. Follow him on Instagram. He's hilarious. Literally immediately after the game, maybe not immediately, a couple hours, he's home in what looks to be his bedroom. And Kaylee hasn't seen this yet, but he sets up on a table. He puts up a water bottle, like this Perrier bottle I have, and he puts up a book, and they put them next to each other, very close together. Then he takes a piece of paper and slides it in between and stands it up so it stands up, and then he looks at it and then he just slaps the whole thing off the table and lays back on the bed like he's pissed. So that was the first one, and he did that after he left the locker room. He went home and did that, and then the next couple days there were a few more posts of him measuring things with paper, and it was great.
I mean at least
he took it and made it into something funny. That's what I like about Marquette King, is he's just loving life.
Yeah,
I hate that.
Oh, man. I can't wait to watch this.
You should. You should run now and go do it.
Cracks me up. Well, after this whole thing, people are wondering whether Derek Carr is the real deal.
Yeah.
Whether he is that franchise quarterback.
Which is sad.
People make one thing, whatever. But
if my parents had given up on me the first time I did something wrong, I don't know where I'd be.
Yeah. Well, this is, I want to set this quote up. This was from the press conference after the game on Sunday from Derek Carr. And I find this pretty interesting. Maybe it's because I haven't played QB in the NFL, but this is what Derek Carr has to say.
To be honest, I couldn't see Jared when I threw it. I saw the initial him and 50 come together. But I mean, you just, so many times, if I told you how many times I threw the ball without seeing somebody, you guys would worry, for us. But that's the NFL. And so I didn't see him, but you know where he's supposed to be in that spot. He made a great catch and all that. And I watched the replay again, so I was just hoping that it would stay a touchdown.
So this is a touchdown that they obviously called back. And
he's so earnest.
So earnest.
When he talks, he's just so
so funny to me that, I guess it did make my ears perk up when I heard that. Wait, what? You didn't see him? And obviously it makes sense, because they're not – you're throwing to where the receiver is going to be not where he right. is. So I get it. But at the same time, it's just kind of, especially, you know, he's going to be taking some ridicule. So for him to say, if you guys knew how many times I didn't see someone, you would be worried. Like, yeah, I'm sure fans would probably be a little worried yeah. about that. But I thought that was hilarious.
That's a good one.
So that was a great experience. We loved that. One of the, you know, one of the other reasons we wanted to go to the Raiders and interview some people was because there's so many great stories mm-hmm. on the team about certain players and where they've been and where they've come from. And one of those people is Nicholas Morrow. Mm-hmm. Now, for you guys that don't know him, you should, because he has been killing it on the Raiders this year. He is a rookie linebacker and just completely making a name for himself. Mm-hmm. So before we get too much into his story, I want to, you know, we asked him how, as a rookie, you know, Sunday Night Football, what does this mean to him? And this is what he has to say.
I'll be scrubbing the stove and at the same time watching Sunday Night Football.
Really?
Yeah, I was telling Kelsey that before I went out there. So it was definitely a surreal moment when I was on the field tonight.
So he's talking about before he gets signed, you know, he's at a D3 college.
Greenville
College, and he's, you know,
working
in the cafeteria, cleaning stoves and watching Sunday Night Football, wishing he's there. And that's what, and so it all came together for him on Sunday night.
It did. And that's, I mean, that itself, hearing him talk about that, was incredible. His story is very unique, and if you haven't heard of him, you should Google him and read about it. I'll be writing something up so you guys can read that.
And one of the other things I looked into was that he's actually, when he got out of college and was training and NFL pro timing day and all that kind of stuff, he was training as a safety.
Yeah.
And so he prepared himself and trained every day as a safety. So when the Raiders signed him as a linebacker, he actually said he was shocked that they did that. So I thought that was interesting. Before we kind of wrap up our Raiders rendition of this first segment of our podcast, we always like to keep the kids positive out there and do it for the kids and what kind of advice they can get. And so
we like advice because we need it still.
Yeah, because we have
no
idea.
It doesn't matter how
doing.
Old you get, advice from somebody that's doing what you want to do is priceless. So I found that asking people what advice they would give in any respect of life is important. So we asked, and you know, Morrow, what would you tell kids, say to kids that are at a D3 school that want to make it, how to get there? What would you tell them? And he told us this.
I was told so many things coming out. Patience, man. It never works out exactly how you want it to work out, but if you stick with it, it'll definitely happen. Definitely.
And that is a true testament to Emily and I's career. It never works out quite how you think it's going to, but it works out. And
patience.
We've seen that. Look, we just finished covering our first NFL game.
Yeah.
Like, our first of many, for sure.
Hopefully.
We've gotten to do so many things, and this podcast has really taken us there. And I'm super proud of it, and I hope you guys keep listening and give us ideas and shout us out. Keep watching the videos. Mm. And
no,
speaking of advice.
Yeah, speaking of advice and knowing things about things, our first guest is a good longtime friend of mine, somebody who has been, in talking about coming up, he and I started together Pac-12 basketball games and tournaments in Las Vegas, just scraping by to get stories, and now he's big leagues. He's doing radio in San Francisco. He's writing still for the Examiner. I mean, he's doing big things. You'll know his name. He's Bonte Hill.
Who's that?
What's a Bonte? No, Bonte Hill with 95.7 The Game. He does the Afternoon Delight with Papa, Greg Papa. And Greg Papa actually asked for him personally. So, you know, Bonte was with KMBR, and Papa said, I got to have me some Bonte Hill. So he hopped over 95.7. If you haven't heard his show, he's in the afternoons, Afternoon Delight. You should listen. We're going to have him on next because he knows what's up with the Niners. Mm-hmm. He knows the future. I mean, he predicted a lot of things.
Yeah.
Garoppolo.
We'll let him talk about that.
Yeah, we'll let him break it down for you. So stay tuned. We are back now with one of our guests today, our in-person guest, Mr. Bonte Hill.
Whoop whoop.
He wears many hats, we've been told. Writer, board operator.
No longer a board operator.
But you were.
Used to be. That's like so.
What's in your bio?
That's like so 2017.
Okay.
Or excuse me, 2016. I don't even know what year it is
right now. He's most well known right now for his stint with Greg Papa, Afternoon Delight on 95.7 The Game.
There you go.
He's a radio co-host. That's what we'll call
him. Co-host, radio personality.
I saw the video that you posted where you asked people what a Bonte is and they didn't know.
Didn't know what a Bonte was.
So how am I supposed to know?
Yeah, I know. You never knew what a Bonte was. You actually have said my name wrong for many, many years, but we won't get into that.
A long time.
Well, it's your fault for spelling it like that. Shouldn't it be an E on the end?
Blame my mama. It's usually an Enya over the A.
Yeah.
But it's so tough to do it. Like, so
yeah,
just,
it's hard to type.
I'm not going to make people do that.
That's fine.
So just, you know, Bonte.
Well,
it's an A, so just Bonte.
Yeah, just like Dante with a That's how I tell it. That's how I'll explain it to people.
All right. I like it.
Well, what's fun about this is that Bonte and I got our start together. So we came up. I mean, he's obviously fast-tracked. So.
Yeah.
I have not fast-tracked.
Good for him.
Why is he on again?
Yeah.
Why am I on here?
No, we covered a Pac-12 men's basketball tournament in Las Vegas. It was like one of the first events that we covered. And that was... Back in the day, it was like five years ago.
Yeah, five years ago. I just gotten out of the relationship. It was like my first big event that I ever covered for the Examiner. I was like, can you guys give me a credential? And they're like, absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow. So I go down there to Vegas.
And it's a good time. It
was a great time. Tony Jones from the Salt Lake Tribune was there.
Yeah.
And I met Emily. She's just like laughing the whole time. Because like we're sitting at courtside like, oh, somebody got ducked up.
Yeah.
Oh, like I thought for sure I was going to get kicked out the MGM. And there was like this old guy, this old Arizona fan. I'll never forget.
Yeah.
He was like yelling at the refs. And you had a classic photo of him.
Yeah.
He was like scowling at the refs.
He had his finger out and he was pointing at the refs.
He's like, and they were like, it was crazy. But we did that tournament together.
Flav was behind us at one point.
Flav was behind us. There were people gambling.
Yeah.
It was a great time. And then from there, we started covering like Stanford games, Cal games.
Yeah.
And yeah.
That's
here
awesome.
We are now.
And
here we are.
And Bonte's actually the one who got me involved with Sportsman Journal.
I did do that, huh?
So.
Forgot all about that. Threw you a solid. What are you going to do for me one day?
Other than
get me on this podcast. Like, I mean, sheesh.
Don't hit the table.
All right, I won't hit the table. Sorry. I'm getting a little animated over
Anyways,
here.
Anyways, okay, so that was a long-winded introduction, but we're happy to have you here today.
Yep.
Happy to be here.
We want to talk a little bit about NFL stuff while we have you on because, you know, you have a little
foot in the door.
Yeah.
You get to cover it
a lot.
A hand
on the pulse of what's going on with especially Bay Area NFL. Yep. You cover a lot of Niners games. And
while we were at the Raiders, you were on the radio, but keeping track of the Niners game.
Yeah.
So let's start by talking a little bit about your Niners coverage. And what do you think about Jimmy G?
Well, I think Jimmy G is a savior. I think he's a franchise.
My dad called him Mr. GQ. Is that something people call him?
Well, he looks like
GQ.
It.
I mean,
Jimmy
a lot of
GQ,
people.
He said that apparently that's like his nickname
look,
now.
I mean, I call him Jimmy G, but I think Jimmy GQ. Jimmy GQ, I guess you can call him. I'm not going to call Jimmy GQ that. I don't call other men handsome. But the guy, I think, you know, he is single. And I think if he were to walk down
Santana Row.
Yes, that's right, ladies. If he was to walk down Santana Row, I don't think he'd have a problem finding a girl, even if he wasn't a quarterback. Even if he wasn't a quarterback, he's the type of guy who could probably go in the club and pull something. I mean, he's got that swag.
He's going to hit up Logan Couture, and it's going to be Couture and Garoppolo all around town.
Hey, Couture's on IR right now, so they could
Couture is notorious for hitting Santana Row.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Logan.
And clubs.
And he loves to go out with the Sharks guys, so.
If I was single and I was an athlete, I wouldn't mind hitting up Santana Row either. I like hitting up Santana Row anyway.
Yeah.
But I think Jimmy Garoppolo, I mean, when the 49ers made the trade on October 30th, it was kind of a shocker because they were 0-8 at that point? I don't remember. But they were bad. They were terrible.
0-8.
And when they made the trade, I was actually on a tour at a new Chase Center at the Warrior Stadium, and Adam Schefter tweeted it.
I remember that, yeah.
And I was just like, wait, what a minute? This is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's been talking about this Garoppolo guy. So for a second-round pick, it was like, all right, this makes sense because if you're Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, who has 6-year contracts, and say you win to next season with to C.J. Beathard, or you want to throw a bunch of money at Kirk Cousins, or you want to take a chance on like Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen or Lamar Jackson or Baker Mayfield, you're still not going to be ready to win for a few years.
Yeah.
here you have a guy who was in New England for a few years behind Tom Brady, mm-hmm. learned the NFL system, learned the mannerisms on how to be an NFL quarterback, and I was like, okay, this can work. But he has blown me away with his leadership.
I was going to ask.
The expectations. And you just think about how Trent Taylor and Marquise Goodwin have played mm-hmm. before Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
And you see how they played once Jimmy Garoppolo was in the lineup. It's night and day. This guy looks legit. And I'm excited to see what happens with him.
What do you think it is about him that has – I don't think anybody has expected this team to turn around as much as they have. But he got there and they have. So what do you think it is about him that has turned this team around? Is it the leadership?
Leadership, his mannerisms. He's cool. He commands a huddle. He throws it on a dime. He throws it to where receivers can catch it or run. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing that we – on my show, I had his quarterback coach, his personal coach on Jeff Christensen. Mm-hmm. He met up with Jimmy Garoppolo when he was 16 years old. And they were studying Tom Brady from that moment, from when he was 16 – on down and mm-hmm. then to go get drafted by the Patriots and be with the guy you're basically studying.
Emulating yourself.
Emulating, yeah. Exactly. And so that's what it is. He just gets it. And so I'm excited to see what his future holds here in San Francisco.
What I like is that he mentioned that that he had a Niners playbook for the last few years, kind of looking at why.
Well.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So in an interview, he had mentioned that one of the coaches, I think Bill Belichick, had a few years ago gave him the Niners playbook. And so he's like, I already know all these plays.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's the system to Kyle Shanahan and the Patriots offense. I'm not going to say it's similar, but there's a lot of similarities, like with the shotgun formations, the pistol, the RPO, run pass option playbook. But New England, they also go under center a lot. You see Tom Brady go under center. They run double tight. They'll play action pass. You see that in Kyle Shanahan's offense. So the biggest difference in the offenses is the terminology. Mm-hmm. It's like learning a new language. It's like us trying to go learn Chinese or Japanese. You may know Chinese. I don't know. I'm just saying. But I know English and Ebonics. And I guess that's it. Spanish class, they gave me a waiver. So it was like, Bay Area slang. That's basically what I know. A little Pig Latin, too. Mm-hmm. But if anybody uses that anymore. But Jimmy Garoppolo basically just had to learn a whole new language. But a lot of principles are the same. Mm-hmm. And Shanahan is translating those principles of Jimmy Garoppolo to make the transition easier. But really, you look at the offense that he ran in college.
Mm-hmm.
Shotgun, a little bit of pistol, run pass options. It's basically doing that here in San Francisco.
Yeah.
So what's the deal money-wise? Because I've been reading all these things like he's going to be – if they don't – pick up his contract, or they let it lapse, and he becomes a free agent. Are they going to let that happen?
They're going to franchise tag him.
So how much?
He's not
leaving
out
the door. How much is he going to ask?
So, for the franchise tag, he's going to get $24 to $25 million.
Jesus Christ.
But he's going to ask for a contract, and his agent Don Yee knows what time it is. They're going to sit back, and they're going to be like, throw us a number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now we just saw Derek Carr get over $70 million in guarantees, 5-year, $125 million contract.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the
people
top quarterbacks.
Upset about that right now.
Yeah, people are upset. They wasn't when it happened. They were not when it happened. But if you look at the quarterbacks up there that are like Cam Newton, Aaron Rodgers, great, like. He's going to ask Ryan Tannehill, for crying out loud, is making $18 million a year.
Yeah.
So Garoppolo's people's probably going to ask for $22 to $24 million. Yeah. So he's going to get paid, but that's not a problem because the 49ers have $118 million in cap space.
Yep.
They can afford to do that. And once you have your quarterback, you could start to build around him.
So then who do you build around him for the future?
For the future, you need some interior linemen. Mm-hmm. You need some guards. You need a center. You need a playmaking wide receiver, big guy. Mm-hmm. I think Marquise Goodwin's going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
He's solid. Pierre Garçon is a veteran. He's a second receiver. He's going to be solid. But you need that red zone threat that I'm not going to say Julio Jones, but somebody in a similar build to where they can go up and get it.
That'd be nice.
And, yeah, that'd be absolutely nice. Another tight end. Uh-huh. So the Niners have plenty of holes, but Garoppolo looks like the type of quarterback who can mask a lot of flaws on your team by just being that good.
Good.
What happens if he isn't good next year?
If he's not good next year, then, you know, it's,
then they waste
I think he'll be fine.
Yeah.
I think he'll be fine. I don't I think
him,
you
happens?
Know, if you put the franchise tag on him, it's a 1-year deal.
Yeah, so
and
what,
so if he plays bad,
yeah.
if he plays bad, then you're like you can let him walk, but I don't think they're going to do that. They made this move. Look, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are married to Garoppolo.
Yeah.
the next 5 years, they're going to have Garoppolo as their guy. They're going to ride or die with this guy. And how could you say, like, it's tough to say that he's going to, like, regress. Now, he may not play as good as he's playing now. And this week against Jacksonville.
That'll could be a big test.
Oh, it's going to be problematic. That'll this be defense huge. Is nasty. But I think everybody's seen it. It's just he's got that it factor. Mm-hmm. You know what good quarterback when you see one, like special. He has that special. And he's playing against different defenses every week. Mm-hmm. Chicago different defense with defensive coordinator Vic Fangio. Houston different defense with Mike Vrabel was their defense coordinator. And then last week against Tennessee, Dick LeBeau in his blitz package. So then this week against Jacksonville, different defense. But Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be fine. And they're going to build around him.
Yeah. It just seems like a lot of pressure for a guy.
I don't think he's been around. He's been around for so long. Does it get to you anymore, you know?
Two or three games in, everyone's like, okay, this is the savior of the 49ers franchise. That's a lot.
Five straight wins as a starter.
That's a lot. That's a lot of pressure.
It's pressure being quarterback in a franchise.
Here, kid.
Right.
Here you go. Right. Let's just save the world.
Here's what you've wanted your entire life. Right. Now do something good with it.
And he's taking on the challenge. I mean, think about playing quarterback for the 49ers. Joe Montana, Steve Young. Jeff Garcia was good for a few years here. Mm-hmm. Alex Smith, I mean, he wasn't good, but he couldn't handle the pressure. And then you had Kaepernick, who couldn't finish the deal either. So Garoppolo wants the pressure. He was there in New England. He wants to be great. Mm-hmm. He's going to be fine.
He'll be fine. So sticking with the NFL, what are your thoughts on these injuries this year? Do you think you've seen a season that has been more injury-ridden with big names?
No. This is insane.
Yeah.
Like, Aaron Rodgers, yeah. I mean, look at the athletes for today. I mean, they're faster. They're bigger. They're stronger. I mean, I don't know what's up with the equipment, but there's more caution. You know, mm-hmm. a lot more teams are cautious with their players, especially when it comes to concussions and stuff. But
do you think that's why people get hurt so easily? It's like you're always concerned about where you hit and how you hit and how hard you hit and all this stuff, that it causes your body to, like, be more tense.
Yeah, a little bit of that. But, like, what can you do? Like, when these guys are going so fast and they're tearing ACLs or they're landing on their shoulders wrong.
Left
and
right.
It just happens. Yeah. Injuries happen. You can never call them. You can never prepare for them. Mm-hmm. Like, you could try to, like, prepare to, like, oh, I'm not going to get injured. But if you play trying not to be injured, you're going to get injured.
Oh, yeah. No. Christian McCaffrey once told me when I was at the Heisman, he said that, and his mom confirmed this, that when he was younger, he watched his dad, who suffered pretty serious injuries when he played. Yeah. And he said he watched his dad do all the prevention, go through all of this rehab. And so that McCaffrey built his training and how he became what he is around injury prevention. So it's said that he does stuff that not a lot of other guys do because he got advice from his dad, Shannon Sharp, a bunch of these guys who said this is what you need to do to protect yourself. So I think there is a way to strength train.
Right. You can you can strengthen yourself and everything, but like, what if McCaffrey gets, you know, Cam Newton throws a pass over the middle, he's got to stretch out for it, he gets clobbered.
Yeah. Maybe he doesn't
or if a linebacker grabs him and pile drives him on his shoulder. Like,
but he's so strong that nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, nothing's going to happen. He's super bad. He's super bad. He's not going to blow away
these
joints.
That argument has been made. Really?
He's good.
He's bionic, man.
But what happened last year when he was injured?
I don't even remember that because it feels like it didn't even happen. He sat out one game.
But he sat out a game. He sat out a game.
He didn't need to, but he did. He also didn't play in the bowl games, which is a little like.
Come on, man.
He's looking out for number one.
Right. But look at Andrew Luck. Like, he took all the punishment.
Gosh.
He may not ever be the same.
No.
Deshaun Watson, non-contact injury. Teddy Bridgewater in practice, non-contact injury. But non-contact injury. Yeah. Just dropping back to throw a pass.
Stepping wrong.
Stepping in your footing or something. Mm-hmm. You slip and boom, you're done. Like, it's
crazy.
You can't prevent it, but it has.
You can prevent it to a degree. If your ligaments and muscles around your ligaments are strong enough, when you drop back like that, maybe they don't snap that way.
But when you're playing for as long as these players are playing now, you know, they're starting at 6 years old.
Yeah.
When you're playing that long, I wonder if that has, you know, a hindrance on how long you're going to be able to play when it comes to, like, your muscles. The wear and tear on your body since you're playing for so long.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because I noticed,
we'll never
too.
Know, cause they're not going to ever say.
Yeah. Right.
We're never really.
Right.
But what I did notice, too, is that over the last few years, you do see players not playing every snap like they did in years past, especially wide receivers, running backs, stuff like that. I saw, I think Chris Collinsworth was talking about, I think it was a Sunday night game. I can't remember who was playing, but it was a top wide receiver who was in, and this is in the red zone, last 2 minutes of the game, and he was in the red zone, didn't get a pass, goes out. And Chris Collinsworth is like, you could either win or lose the game, and you're not in right now.
Right.
Like,
oh, Michael Crabtree
was
out for a minute, but
well,
he's
yeah.
in concussion.
He was in concussion.
But yeah, you're right. All these players, like, they come out after a play. They come in, and it's like big plays.
Yeah,
third
big
and eight,
stuff.
Third and eight. I need you on the field.
Exactly.
I saw Julio Jones out on the third down. I'm like, what is going on? He's the most lethal wide receiver, one of the most lethal
and
wide receivers
in the NFL. And at least have him out there for
as
distraction.
As a decoy. Yeah. I still get mad at USC in 2006 when Reggie Bush didn't hit the field. Don't.
Uh-huh.
That triggers some memories here. But as you mentioned, like the injuries, like these players are bigger, faster, stronger. You land on your foot wrong. Look at Odell Beckham Jr. You know, like, it sucks because it's watered down the product and we don't get to see the stars every week, and that's had an impact on ratings.
And fantasy?
And Well, don't even get me started with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we don't want to go there. But on top of the injuries, we've seen a lot of big names go out as well because of suspensions. And so we've seen the suspensions ramp up this year, too, for dirty hits, dirty plays, stuff like that. Is it that the league is getting more strict on this, or is it that the players are retaliating on that strictness and just not really caring as much?
Oh, the NFL is getting strict, but there are some inconsistencies with who they give suspensions to and how long. Just look at Rob Gronkowski. He damn near did the people's elbow on Tre'Davious White, and he got one game. He got one game. Juju Smith-Schuster basically had a crackback block on Vontaze Burfict. Now, I think he got popped because he started talking trash, but he gets a game. So it's to say, it's just, they both get a game, but like what Gronkowski did was much more malicious. So I just think the NFL needs to become more consistent in how they divvy up their suspensions. That's what it is. I like the strictness. Hey, if we're going to give a guy two games, make sure it's fair across the board. But
so, and then my other question is too, is everybody complains about Roger Goodell and his lack of consistency and all this stuff, but he just got his extension for $200 million. So
we did talk about
that. Yeah. So like, how is, do the complaints really matter? Apparently not to the owners. They don't care.
No, the owners, they have their guy who can take all the bullets for them. Yeah. He's the man that they put out there and say, okay, bad PR, go save us.
Yeah.
You know, so Goodell basically works for the owners.
Mm-hmm.
So
no wonder he asked for a lifetime private jet.
Exactly. I mean, think about it. He's making $200 million, and he's basically working for the owners, and he's not really giving up the suspensions. They have guys like Derek Brooks, John Runyon, who are, like, sitting there here at hearings to appeal the suspension, and they're making a final call.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even Goodell half the time.
But
so
he's the face.
He's the face of the NFL, so somebody's got to take the rap and take the heat for everything that's gone awry in the NFL, and it's Roger Goodell. So it's just, for me, it's just the suspension process is just so damn inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. That's the biggest beef I have with
I'm
it.
I'm sure they'll take a look at it after this year.
Well, they always do.
They hammer it out. But this was like a banner year, so I feel like they're going to take a look at a lot of things. Oh, hopefully.
Yeah.
Definitely hope.
Well, I mean, but they had these complaints with Ray Rice when he got four games, and that was all the talk, and then they looked at it over the offseason. Now here we are again.
Yep.
Well, eventually it's going to be too much to ignore.
Yeah.
Right.
Too big to fail.
But too many players to ignore.
We could just all agree that the NFL is a mess right now.
Okay. Moving on. So instead of talking NFL, let's move into MLB then.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
So,
little baseball.
Little baseball. Giants. Big trade. Apparently to you it was no surprise. You called this.
Yeah. Well, Fonte already knew
I was just – I don't know if I called it. But I do think the Giants listened to our show from 12 to 3 and maybe jot down some notes here.
Straight
here and there. Sabian and Bobby Evans.
The back, yeah.
They're sitting there listening to Greg Pop and I like,
Saves
what are they talking about? Oh, it's Giants segment. Hold on. What is this? They said Longoria? Hold on. What? So I basically was like, hey, why not kick the tires on Evan Longoria? He's in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is trying to shed payroll.
How do you
roll.
Come up with that name? Like, of all
because
these people
I look
that
at
you
the,
could kick the tires
I look at the holes that they have and what's more realistic. Right, a lot of people are like, oh, Josh Donaldson. Josh Donaldson wants to break the bank. He wants to get paid. He wants to get paid. The Giants aren't in that position to really pay him, even though they took on Longoria's contract, and it's super backloaded. But for this year, they give up Denard Span, who's making $13 million this year. Longoria's making 12. And Tampa Bay's going to give them money. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, okay, instead of just looking at the outfield, how about shore up third base? Because you saw last year with third base with the Giants, Pablo Sandoval, Ryder Jones, Christian Arroyo. It was the worst production in baseball, basically. So you get Longoria, who, he's slowing down at 32 years old, but he won a gold glove last year. He's only missed 12 games in the last 5 years. He's going to hit about 25 home runs. Last year he hit 20.
He has a great name.
He has a great name, too.
He's going to fit in well with the Giants' PR, which that's really what they look for.
They love the PR.
That's why Stanton, I was like, how is this guy Stanton going to fit in? He's going to change his name back to Mike
he's not
or
do
whatever
that.
It was.
No, he's not going to do that. Giancarlo.
Giancarlo.
So you can touch on this really quickly, but the PR thing brings up a good point, is that I saw a tweet that you had retweeted earlier today about everyone on the infield being white.
Well,
do you think that that's
intentional? No. It's not intentional, but it is weird to see, like, because you think about the Giants, you think of the Yalou brothers, you think of Bobby Bonds, Willie Mays, Willie McCovey, Juan Marichal. This team has always had like a mixture of players.
Yeah.
Robbie Thompson,
diversity.
Will Clark, so much diversity. And San Francisco is a diverse city.
Mm-hmm.
But now somebody tweeted out, I was like, man, they're going to have an all white lineup. And it's like,
this is pretty crazy.
It is weird. And like, if you're going to market, like, why is like the Hispanic community going to come? I would think that's what's been great about the Giants. So it is just a little weird. I don't think it's intentional at all. I mean, think about the history. They have Mays come back, Barry Bonds, Bam Bam Mulins is still here, Pablo, Johnny Cueto. So I don't think it's intentional. It's just like, oh, we're going to have like the whitest team.
The fans are still there. They'll still be there.
Yeah,
but do you think that like before they made those trades and stuff that they thought, is anybody going to think about this?
I'm pretty sure they're gonna think about it. They looked into it, but it's about winning.
Exactly.
And Longoria's gonna help you win.
And if they win, then it doesn't matter.
Nobody cares.
Can I just say, talking about the Giants, I just found this picture of Tim Lincecum of what he looks like now.
Oh my God.
And they said he's starting his comeback tour.
His face is still weird,
but his body looks nice.
Do
you even know that's not what he looked like when he was 25 and winning awards? Like, this is not what he looked like. This is a different person.
Yeah, he's gotten bulkier and like
he did not have
he's
arms
got
like
muscles.
That.
How do you pitch like that with those big old arms?
I think he needed it though, because his pitching was, when he did try and come back and when he was at the bottom, he was maybe four innings, he couldn't do anything. So maybe this is
the
strength he needed. But anyways, this article is all about him. He's coming back, like he's gonna make a real effort.
I love Lincecum. I mean, his velocity went down this last year, 86 miles an hour. Good luck to him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That just blew my mind, though. Like, that looks like...
He is piped up. I'm a little jealous here.
That is a little Jersey
like
Shore.
Vinny from the Jersey Shore.
I'm a little jealous. I need to hit the weight room.
He was 170 when he was with the Giants, so how much do you think he weighs in that photo?
He's probably still 170, but it's no body
all
fat.
Muscle.
Looks like he gave up the 420.
He looks the same up here. Like, his face is still gaunt, but...
Right, looks like he gave up a little of the 420, and he's like...
I don't know if he'll ever give that up.
Drinking the creatine. He's adding creatine
to
his shakes.
He's definitely on the creatine,
right.
For,
yeah.
Sure.
He's
for sure.
He's edible.
For sure.
Yeah, he's edible.
Anyways,
other trades in the MLB.
You're talking about the Dodgers.
Of course I am.
She's a huge Dodgers fan.
Are you really a Dodger
fan?
Mm-hmm. Why are you a Dodger fan?
She's from
LA?
Kind of. My stepdad grew up down there, and so he's a Dodgers fan. And then I spent 7 years down there going to school
And you were back and forth as a child, because she was a child star.
I was a child actress.
You're a child star? Yeah. You're a child actress? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So I should be interviewing this. It should be Emily and I interviewing you.
Why do I get pushed
like,
out?
Well, yeah, you're a star. You're a rock star, too.
No. All right.
You're a rock star.
Anyway, Dodgers making the trade.
Maria Catholic legend over here.
I think that title goes to Jared Goff. And now the new quarterback that just signed with Iowa. Did you see this kid? So I'm going to come back to the Dodgers.
I know about it. Yeah, he signed with who?
I forget his name, but he signed. Originally, he was going to go to Oregon State.
And he went to Oregon?
And now he's going to Iowa.
Iowa.
He broke all of Jared Goff's records at Marin Catholic. Kid
he's
is
going
like,
to Iowa.
Real. Yeah. Iowa's on the other side of that.
He was
program.
Going to Oregon State, though?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's
well,
why.
Well, he was being recruited by them early on before he reached this.
Nobody wants to go to Oregon State
right
now.
This kid is good. I'm surprised
Nobody
you don't. With your guest person. I'm surprised they don't.
I'm Marin Catholic. See, it's hard for us to get up there, though.
That's true. No one cares about Marin Catholic.
South Bay, but...
Anyways, Dodgers.
No. We can skip the Dodgers. What? Everybody... Well,
oh, that money dump to get Matt Kemp back? You like having Matt Kemp back, though.
I don't. I don't see the point. I don't see the point. But my only thought about it is the fact that they got him because he was cheap and they could get rid of all that, you know, salary cap and then eventually maybe, you know, get rid of Darvish, obviously, and then
Darvish is a free agent, right? Yeah, so he's gone. I don't think you would ever resign. Sorry about Gabe 7, by the way.
Yeah,
not sorry. real quickly, I want to get your thoughts. I'm gonna ask you a question. Ooh. Here, so you're a Dodger fan. Uh-oh. How did you feel about Adrian Gonzalez basically ditching a team and going on family vacation and not supporting the team from the dugout?
I thought that was really weird.
Kind of douchey, huh?
Yeah. I wanted to know, like, what the actual situation was, like, what they said to him, what happened. But, yeah, I thought it was super weird. It almost, and then one of the World Series games, he was in, like, a suite or something. But it was just, like, it was weird.
Because Brian Wilson, when he was hurt, he was in a dugout.
I think you should be. Yeah, you should be in the dugout. On the team.
Yeah, you're on the team.
Put your uniform on. All Giants players.
Well, I'm just thinking, like, when they were in the playoffs. And
so they all love each other. That's unique.
Well, I mean, I guess.
I can't get rid of it. Would you do that, Emily?
Would you do that, Emily? You're Adrian Gonzalez. You're making all this money. Your team.
How close I am with my family.
I mean, your team. Your team is about to make a World Series run. Like,
you're not doing anything.
Wow.
Is he like a team leader? I don't know. Was he?
I thought he was. He was one of the veteran leaders, right? Was he?
Yeah.
Maybe he thought he'd jinx it. Hey, coming from someone who jinxes a lot of things, including some nice Raiders fans who tried to point out that it was my fault filming that play on the sideline, but I jinxed the Raiders, which now that has to be brought up because it may be true.
Emily wanted to bring that up.
No, I'm saying they were calling me a jinx, but I'm just saying,
all the shares,
maybe he's superstitious.
All the retweets, Emily, the slow motion. Emily's posted it about 7 times. See, slow motion for me.
She did. I'm just saying maybe he's like super superstitious, and he's like, oh, every time I'm in there injured, they lose or some sort of bad juju.
You've been in one Raider game.
No. I'm talking about the guy from the Dodgers. Like, that's my perspective. It's maybe he was really superstitious, and he's like, I don't know. Adrian Gonzalez?
No, I don't know.
You don't know what's going on.
We don't know.
Let's go with that theory then. He was superstitious,
so he
didn't want to jinx the team.
I just gotta say that guy's name is Italy. Spencer Petras. Shout out Marin Catholic.
Why the hell would he even want to go from Marin Catholic to Iowa?
So listen to this. He's only a 3-star on here, but apparently broke all Jared Goff's records, so that's got to be something.
The NCAL. The NCAL is down. It's not a strong league.
It's never been a strong league. Yeah, so Goff there wasn't a strong league.
I mean, think about it.
I'd rather go to Corvallis than Iowa.
Okay, but if you're a quarterback in high school and you're decent, you're not going to go to Stanford because you're not going to play. You're not going to go to Michigan. You're not going to go to all these like great quarterback schools. So where can you go to?
Go to Oregon State. No sales tax in Oregon. No sales tax. You got Portland. Portland's a very underrated city. I love Portland.
He looks like a kid that go to Iowa. Spencer?
Iowa? Would you want to go to Iowa?
No.
You're going to go to that city next year because of the Children's Hospital. I know that's the type of move you're going to make. Yeah.
I also would not want to go to Oregon State with what's going on there. Like, who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah. Corvallis doesn't even have Uber last time we went. So, no, I'm not going to Corvallis. Okay. Anyways, I just wanted to say that was his name, and he went to my
Spencer
high
Petras. Spencer Look out Petras. For Spencer 6'5", Petras.
6'5", 207.
6'5"?
6'5".
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
People like him. They've been talking about him, so.
Well, any other notable signees in the Pac-12 that we saw today?
There's a lot going on.
Was it weird for you guys that it was so early this year? Yeah. Like, I woke up this morning. I saw that RJ was awake at, like, 6. I was like, what is he doing up? And then I realized, like, people are signing today. Why?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I cover so many pro sports, and it's like college signing day. It's like, you know, like what?
What?
I had it on a screen. Yeah, it's a huge deal. I saw one guy. What's his name? KJ Henry or whatever. He was like the number 3 defensive end, and he was like, I'm going to Clemson. And I'm like, damn, Clemson just loads up. This dude looked like he was 25 already, rocked up, and I was super jealous because it was like, damn, I've never looked like that. This guy, veins popping out of his neck and everything. It's like, dude, you're a high school senior, bro. But he's going to Clemson. So that's all I saw, really, for signing day. I always wait for it to end because it just seems like now it's weird. Like, they open up recruitment, then they close it, then you have a session. Just let me know when everybody signed.
And my thing is, too, is, like, these days, kids sign. They're not going to stay there.
No.
They're going to decommit. They're going to go somewhere else when they get a little bit more notoriety or whatever. So Who cares?
It's stupid.
And these kids might not even be good.
It's
like these five-star, four-star kids. Yeah. They may go to the wrong system.
They might get hurt.
None of this attention.
They might get hurt. Can they prevent themselves from getting hurt?
When some of us signed our letters of intent, we showed up at the school, and that's how they knew we were going.
Yeah.
Right? We said, oh, we're going to come. Hey, coach, I'm going to come. And then you show up in the fall.
Right.
That's it. That's all it should be. This is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
We've got hats and we've got announcements and some people making freaking skiing videos.
What kind of like
Stanford that? Kid, he had his friends, they had a race to ski to the bottom and whoever, you know, won, that was the school he's going to. It was stupid.
I kind of like some of the antics, though. I'm not going to lie. Some of the videos is kind of funny.
That age is only going to get worse for these
guys. It really is only going to get worse.
It is true.
Yeah.
Apparently, though, Cal did very well, and that's what I was going to look at is because, you know, with the Wilcox era, trying to build a momentum from this year, they didn't quite make it to where they wanted to be. They didn't get.
They're ascending, though.
I mean, they're doing better, but apparently they picked up some very big players.
Good for Cal Berkeley.
Yeah.
Because I'm waiting for them to tip the scales against Stanford. Stanford still has a stranglehold on the rivalry.
You hate Stanford.
I don't hate Stanford. I like Stanford. I love him. They irk the hell out of me with their play calling.
Yeah.
If they're there to the Pac-12 championship, we're all there. Don't even give. Anyway. I like Wilcox and Cal. I think they're going to be strong.
I think, if
they could just get a coach to just stick around, and if the athletic department can
let them
stick around,
yeah.
I do think they needed to get rid of Sonny Dykes. But
speaking of crazy things going on, this just in: North Carolina upset in college basketball by Wofford.
Wow!
Shout out Wofford. They're actually.
Where's Wofford at? Is it in Alabama or South Carolina or something?
That's a team that tournament like.
I always pick them. They're like a 12 seed or 11 seed. You're like, you know what?
We're like, okay, I could see you.
I don't even think I've ever had them on my.
North Carolina going down. So what I'd like to say about college basketball thus far is that it is not weird to lose if you're a top team. This year, more than ever, we're seeing Kansas go down. We're seeing Arizona. This is a down year for Arizona.
So far. Well, there's so much parity in hoops, and it's so early.
No, but this is a lot of top seed, like top ranked teams falling early. Kansas lost to Washington and Arizona State.
See, here's the thing. This goes to the argument that we always have in college football.
Yeah.
Should these teams be ranked going into the season?
Of course.
Because we rank them so high, and all of a sudden they lose a few games, you're like, oh, they're overrated,
they're
bust. Well, maybe they just weren't that good. You know, who's ranking these people? Mm-hmm. Who's ranking these teams?
Is it coaches?
Yeah, before the season. How do you know how good they are? Do you have a camera inside of their practices?
Yes.
Bill Belichick?
Based on what they did last year and who's coming back, you can kind of guess what we're going to see. And
you can, but it's like
bit.
It's like
but
know,
then people need people need to not freak out if their ranking wasn't as accurate as they had thought.
But I guess what I'm saying is there's a lot of top teams, like top 10,
like historically top teams,
and even now that top 10 teams that are losing to unranked teams.
Right.
Yeah.
Like way unranked. Like Wofford, we're just talking about.
Right.
Or Kansas losing to Washington. They're not even on the radar. So I think that's what's weird about this beginning is you don't see a lot of Michigan States or a lot of, you know, North Carolina's
losing. What
about
Arizona State coming out of nowhere?
That's pretty cool.
Shout out Bobby Hurley.
Yeah.
Keep getting money down there in Tempe.
Xavier, I like Xavier. That's
Xavier's always a solid team.
They're always on my brackets.
This year though, they're put like
Elite Eight last year against Gonzaga. They'll be fine. Look, once they get into conference play, there'll be players coming back, and you get about, you know, you got to get some games under your belt. It's 10 games. You got to. It takes a while to build that continuity.
You can't lose games like that. If you're going to play, Michigan State's going to play, you know, Gonzaga early on. Okay, that's an okay loss. But if you're going to lose to a team like Wofford, like.
Whatever. They'll be in the ACC. Look, North Carolina comes back and beats Duke. We forget about Wofford.
We only got Arizona State is undefeated. Villanova's undefeated. Miami's undefeated.
Good. That's good. I like
TCU's
that.
TCU's undefeated. I actually saw TCU play hoops. That was the first game I covered this year, and that surprises me. They must not be playing.
Jamie Dixon?
I like Jamie Dixon. Yeah. He's a good captain.
What the hell were you doing at a TCU basketball game?
I know. I was at TCU Texas Tech football.
Oh, yeah.
Kaylee, I was doing that road trip.
Do you ever get amazed by how, like, she just goes to the most random games?
She
was at a Middle Tennessee
State
game.
I was there.
You were at the Middle Tennessee State game, too? Why? Uh-huh.
What she came to the football game when they played Vandy. That, at the time, that was a prolific game in the sense that if they won, Middle Tennessee was going to have this. They were playing three Power 5 teams. If they won them all, they would have been talked about. Right. But they ended up losing spectacularly to win. And it ended up being terrible.
Right.
So it was interesting in its own
way. And it's Nashville. I wanted to go. Yeah.
Never been to Nashville. I heard Nashville's great.
You take a chance going to games. You don't know they're going to pan out. Like, I went to Valparaiso, all those games.
I remember that.
And they ended up winning, almost winning the NIT.
I remember that.
And then I, you know, broke that Bryce Drew news going. So you never know. But
look at you.
As a sports writer, you got to take chances.
You do got to take chances. I like it.
You got to take chances.
I like it.
Beautiful. I love how quickly we moved from college football to college basketball, which is totally fine because up next, we are going to talk to the assistant
Kansas
coach.
Men's basketball assistant coach, Jarence Howard. He does a lot of the recruiting. He's Bill Self's guy and very well known in Lawrence.
Awesome.
I had the pleasure of making his acquaintance when I covered the NCAA tournament, and he's been keeping me in the loop ever since, so he's going to come on and talk to us because Kansas plays Stanford tomorrow night.
Awesome. Atlanta, so. Well, Vontae, thank you so much for joining us.
That was an honor. That was one of the most fun podcasts I've ever done.
Don't just say that.
No, it was. We didn't have to just talk
That's
stats.
That's going to be his tease.
We didn't have to just talk stats here. Yeah. Seriously, it was like fun.
A couple cocktails, though. We just didn't get that far yet.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh wow, I'm scared. I'm glad. Actually, that's probably that's actually a better thing that there was no cocktails because things could have gotten a little messy here.
We didn't want to get too rowdy.
No.
Too early for that.
No, it's only a Wednesday night here.
All right, stay tuned, everyone.
Well, that was a fantastic segment there with Bonte Hill from 95.7 The Game breaking down some NFL stuff for us, but now we're going to move on some college hoops, and we are joined now by Kansas assistant men's basketball coach Jarence Howard, who is phoning in from Sacramento, where Kansas has a big game tomorrow against Stanford. So what's up, Jay?
How you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
Of course. We're welcome to our home state, and we hope you're enjoying our capital, which is a super hopping city.
Well, I told you before, Frank, our point guard Frank Mason got drafted here, and I talked to him last week and texted with him. He loves it here. He talks about the restaurants and the atmosphere and the community and the people supporting the Kings. So we're excited to be here. We're playing a well-coached team, and also, you know, get to see Frank and get to play in a big-time arena that we're looking forward to playing in.
Yeah, so he's going to join come see you guys tomorrow at the shoot around and maybe offer up some wisdom. He himself was a gamer when he was at KU. One of my favorite players to watch was Frank Mason. So what do you think he's going to say to the kids tomorrow, having had the kind of start you guys are dealing with a couple early losses to teams that you probably should beat, and especially Pac-12 teams facing one tomorrow? What do you think he's going to say to these guys to help them bounce out of it and back on track?
Well, if knowing Frank is knowing what he is saying, guys got to get tougher. You know, he's built his career and got to the NBA and had a fantastic year last year, being a National Player of the Year, just off toughness. And we got to get a little tougher and guard better. And the two losses that we had with Washington State, they did a good job of scouting and preparing, and they stayed in that zone and made us play to our weaknesses. And then you talk about one of the hottest teams in college basketball with Arizona State coming in to Allen Fieldhouse and playing the way they played. And but it's early. It's the things that we're excited about as a staff is that the things that we need to change are correctable. We're not that far off. So just getting a little tougher and playing high on the floor and pressuring more on the defensive end, those are things that we can control, and hopefully we can do that tomorrow.
Yeah, well, Jay, with these, early losses to the to some Pac-12 teams, do you think that there's too much hype in the early stock of rankings for college hoops?
That's a good question.
Oh, most definitely. I played for Coach Self at Illinois, and I remember us being preseason number one, and it was something that we'd never been a part of, and we were feeling ourselves, but it's a long season, and it doesn't. You want to play the right way. You want to, from a recruiting standpoint, from your program, and you definitely want to be ranked, and it's always good to be ranked, number one in the country or a top five team. But it only matters when come conference playing in March. So if you can make those changes and corrections of taking early, some early losses, and nobody likes to lose, but you got to take, spin it into a positive, and that's what we've been trying to do and college basketball is so fun and it's so great to be a part of, because every day you have to prepare not to get beat and to win, and you just never know what's going to happen. You saw what happens in North Carolina.
Yeah.
You saw the upsets. You know, every week there's somebody getting upset, and that's the good thing about college basketball that you that's, I think, is different from every other sport, is that every night, every week, somebody could get upset, and it makes the game really fun to watch. But you never want to be on the other side and get upset. And but we dealt with that, and here at Kansas, you know, you saw. I think we haven't lost back-to-back home games since the 70s. And, that's not acceptable here for our fan base and for our players and for our ex-players. So, like I said, but the good thing about it, it's early, it's behind us. We know what we need to do, and we made some adjustments, and we played the right way the last two games since we took the L against the Arizona State, and we're looking to continue that
bounce
tomorrow
back.
Against Stanford. A really good
You're
Stanford team.
You're
going to
take the L and then bounce back, like Big Sean says.
Yeah.
Shout out, Big Sean.
Yeah. Shout out, Big Sean. Well, I want to ask one other thing, and I know it's definitely a more sensitive subject, but there is a quote from Coach Self where he talks about this being a soft team. Now, I've heard him say that about other teams in prior years, and it's not a fun thing to hear, I'm sure, as a player. Do you think that this team is it a physical softness? Is it a mental softness? And how do you get them tougher on the court and off? Like, what do you do as a coaching staff to move forward and get them tougher?
Well, that's what makes Coach, you know, the reason why he's a Hall of Fame coach is that he's always finding buttons to push, to challenge our players to get the, you know, to get their awareness, and to anybody as a person who got any competitive juices, they hear their coach, you know, basically saying out in public that they're soft.
Yeah.
You want to do something about it. So Coach knows, you know, this is not the first team that he said is soft.
No,
and won't
it's
be
not.
The last. And, but I think, like I talked before, the different things that, and, you know, people think when you're soft, you got to be this, you're not strong physically. But a lot of it, you know, being tough is
mentally.
Being competitive and being tough is mentally.
Yeah.
It's doing your job and following out your assignments, coming out of timeout and playing to scout and report and knowing the strength and weaknesses. So our definition of being, you know, tough is, you know, things that you can control and that, you know, that we work on every day, and it's doing your job and just compete. So, you know, Coach, you know, he's going to continue to challenge our players, you know, whether it's public or in a closed practice. But our guys, we have a culture that's been built on toughness and defending and guarding, and we got to get back to that. And that's what the different things that we've been trying to do these last couple of weeks of changing.
Well, you know, tomorrow playing Stanford, what do you see in this Stanford team?
Well, they're real coach. You know, Coach, their coach played here at Kansas.
Yep.
One of the most, you know, still to this day, I mean, one of the most beloved guys that ever put on a Kansas uniform. So it's personal. So, you know,
we hear about that connection all the time. Like, literally, that's the biggest storyline at Stanford.
Is that right?
Jared Haas came from Kansas, and he was going to turn the program
and
around.
He's beloved.
Yes.
He's beloved. I mean, our radio guy, David Lawrence, I did an interview with him. He said to this day he's still one of my favorite players. And
wow.
That's the type of effect that he had on the Kansas basketball program, with his effort, with his intangible things. He played hard. I guess they said he played his last senior year with a broken wrist and, a fractured wrist, and didn't even tell anybody. So they're good. You know, they play in a good conference that's compatible. So they play some, you know, good teams this year, and they got a guy, Travis Reed, who's big time, who really exposed us last year. I believe he shot 22 free throws against us last year. So he's a beast. And, you know, they got some good guards. And just like, but going back, just being real, you know, well prepared and being up for this game. So it's going to be a hard road game for us. But we like to embrace, you know, road games, and because you got to be in the foxhole, and this is where you got to come together. It's going to be just us. And, we got to create our own energy. And these are games we like. And, this definitely will make or break our Christmas if you're a player at Kansas.
That's asking a lot.
So,
You're either getting some good stuff from Santa or you're getting cold.
Yeah. So for you personally, I mean, coming off of those two Pac-12 losses, are you worried about tomorrow?
He ain't going to say he's worried.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah.
I mean, okay.
Got it.
You go into every game more concerned, but I think the more you prepare, the better you prepare, the less nervous and concerned you be. So we have a game plan, you know. We've had some good practices, and and our guys are, with the two losses, you know, it's a sense of urgency now. No, you know, nobody wants to lose, and but anytime as a coach, you go into the game a little concerned and a little nervous, but once that ball's thrown up and all that is out the window, you just got to go out there and compete and help you guys as much as possible.
Well, I really think what'll be interesting especially is the venue, because it is a huge arena. And, you know, college basketball, where you play, and, you know, Allen Fieldhouse is a very unique place. I was able to go there for a game, and it was – I've never seen anything like it in college hoops. But here in the Bay Area, we don't fill arenas. We don't have big crowds like that. So I'm interested to see tomorrow – how the ticket sales go. And then, honestly, I think there will be, like you said, a lot of Kansas fan in attendance, more so than Stanford, because they got to travel 2 hours to get up there to watch the game. So, you know, how will that help kind of fuel the fire, is seeing local Kansas fans come out? Do you think that gets the guys fired up?
That's a great point, because one thing about being, you know, part of this great tradition and history of Kansas basketball is that our fans, they love Kansas basketball, and they travel, whether we're overseas or whether we're out west or down south. There's going to be some KU, diehard fans there. So we're looking forward to, you know, no matter where we go, to always see our Jayhawks there. And then, like I said, you know, to see a guy like Frank Mason, who had impact and on our program, and, you know, playing with these guys last year, being teammates, I think that's always a plus. But you know, when you play in these arenas, you're preparing yourself for the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
In the Final Four, you know, these big, big, big venues with, where you know, it's a little cold. It's you know, there's nothing behind the baskets. It's stretched out. So, but yeah. You know, this is why we play. Yeah, this is why we play in these different venues, just to get us prepared for March.
Well, my other question, I guess, then is, so you're playing all these preseason games, but we're looking at a Big 12 that's going to be very strong this year. You know, TCU's undefeated, and Oklahoma's Trae Young's being talked about up and down Twitter. So do you ever find yourself looking ahead towards conference play? Because that's where it's really – I mean, obviously these games count, but conference is so important. Is it hard at all to not hear those things and tone them out until you get there?
No, I think it's, you know, Coach, you know, like I said, playing for Coach Illinois – he's always done it where, you know, we feel like we have three different seasons in one. And it's the preseason, conference play, and then postseason. So we always, you know, want to go undefeated at home, and we always set goals of being undefeated in preseason. But, you know, our guys, we know it's pressure, and, you know, our people talk about the Big 12, how competitive it is. This is going to be the year that Kansas now win the Big 12 title. You hear that, but you have to block that out and put on the blinders, as we could tell our guys, and just stay, you know, focused at the task at hand, one game at a time. And I know it sounds cliche, but that's exactly how you have to approach it, though. You have to prepare, because if, you know, we play Texas next, if you're looking at Texas, then you're not going to, you know, be prepared to play a good Stanford team, and that's how you lose. So we do a good job of just kind of breaking – you know, our season into threes, and, you know, with the preseason, which is our last game tomorrow, and then after tomorrow we'll get focused and locked in on conference play.
Yeah,
getting
this
ready
is
for
set the
Texas
tone
team.
Then.
So on
yes,
top,
yes, yes.
Yeah, so on top of, you know, in the middle of a season trying to play through those three seasons you mentioned, you're also part of recruiting. So how do you kind of mix that into your daily grind?
Well, you know, that's a good question. Everybody knows recruiting is just the backbone of your program, and we've done an unbelievable job as a staff of identifying of who we want early, and we got four great, you know, recruits that we signed with Quentin Grimes, Derek, David McCormick, Sylvia, who we may get back here in a week, and then Devon Dotson, and those four guys are, you know, it's a top five recruiting class, yeah. And we're going to lose a lot. And, but here, you know, you just got it's different faces, but the expectations don't change.
Nice. Yeah. Same kind of guys you try and get in to represent the, yep. the Kansas team. That's what works. Exactly. Bill Self knows what's up.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. I got to ask, has Frank Mason suggested any, like, good restaurants or bars since he knows?
Not yet. He texted me yesterday about his barbers. You know,
I was more concerned about getting a haircut and food. True.
Yeah, you got to get those in everywhere you go.
Well, I got a recommendation. There's a great, depending on how things go, but there's this awesome bar in Sacramento, and it's called Dive Bar. It has a live mermaid that goes in a tank above the bar. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's kind of the kind of thing I don't think you would see.
What about a breakfast spot if I want to get up and get coffee or a nice breakfast tomorrow?
Ooh, there is a lot of good breakfast spots.
Oh.
Shoot, that's a tough one.
I love breakfast.
I'm going to get on that and hit you. I got to know, though, what are you going to wear? What's the suit game looking like tomorrow? Can we get any insight?
Oh, that's a good question. Kind of caught me up. I think I want to say all black.
Oh, okay. Black,
classy.
Something like that. Yeah.
Johnny Cash type thing.
Yeah.
I like it. That's a good. I think the last game I watched Stanford, Coach Hawes had on this like red coat. Yeah, the maroon coat. Did you see that?
Yeah. We did see that, yeah.
Did Coach Self say anything? I've never seen a Stanford coach wear that. Johnny Dawkins sure as heck was not wearing that ever. That's the first time
No,
I've seen
we laughed. We brought it up because Coach Self, when we were at Illinois, he had to wear an orange one in the honor of Lou Henson. Coach Lou Henson, ex-coach there, legendary coach of Illinois, used to wear it. So they do it every year, once a year with the coach of Illinois. So Coach has some memories. I'm wearing that orange jacket back in the Illinois days. So.
Orange is a hard color to pull off. I'm not sure anybody can really do it. Maybe Dabo Swinney. All right, so now we're going to switch a little to college football since we're coming up on the bowl games here in the playoffs. And I know.
Roll Tide.
Okay. Oh, all right. Man. Well, you see where you're going with that.
I jumped on a bandwagon about 5 years ago. I'm a Big Ten guy. I love Big Ten football, but there's something about Nick Saban. I'm a big fan. I just the culture of the discipline of the work ethic of reloading with talent, and I'm a huge fan. That's like on my bucket list to go to a Notre Dame football game and an Alabama football game.
Wow. You know what that is? That's game recognized game right there. You know?
Exactly.
Well,
yeah, but I'm a fan, so I'm pulling for Alabama.
That's not a bad bet. You know, we've been dissecting the Final Four, and we like Georgia a little bit. We got to see them play live, and I love my boy Baker Mayfield of Oklahoma. I just covered him at the Heisman, and he's – I know
– Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. That looked pretty cool.
It was
a good experience.
It was incredible, and I do like Lamar Jackson from Louisville. He's a real country stand-up kid. Like he tells it like it is. He was the funniest of the three. I'll tell you that much. But.
Yeah, he has a lot of personality.
He does. He's and his outfit
are awesome.
Did you guys
all
see
the
outfits?
Yes.
He came clean.
Yeah, yeah. He's always creative and mixing it up on the outfit.
And you know what he told me? I said I interviewed him and I was like, hey, you know who picked out your outfit? Because Bryce Love's like, my mom. And Baker Mayfield's probably his parents, but Lamar told me that his family all weighs in on it, and his aunt or not his
cousin,
aunt, his cousin actually designed it and then showed it to him, and he was like, he liked it, and so he got on board. But she designed the whole thing.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
So family affair, exactly. Well, okay, so I have to ask, Kansas football, it's tough. It's you know, it's a tough thing, and hopefully it'll turn around, but. When Baker Mayfield and that whole thing went down with Kansas-Oklahoma game, were you there or did you see it?
Yeah, we were there. We actually didn't know what was going on, and we saw, and I like the guy. I think he's a little arrogant and cocky, but when you're playing like that,
sometimes you
have the right to be. You know, I believe he just has that it factor. He has a swagger that you can't teach, and I think that's what Trey Young's have. You know, we see the numbers he's putting up, but I think, you know, people can say what they want, but at the end of the day, you know, he's going to fight and he's going to compete. And our guys kind of pissed him off a little bit, yeah, and the rest is history.
And as a coach, don't you think that's a little like you don't go out and not shake someone's hand? Doesn't that feel like you would never teach your kids to do that?
No, and I don't know, you know, all the details, but I didn't think. You don't want to, you know, wake up the sleeping giant or the sleeping lion. And,
they did.
We definitely woke him up, and I think we learned our lessons. But to go back to our football team, I'm a huge Coach Beatty fan. I think we're moving in the right direction. I think we, you know, the wins and losses doesn't show up as far as the culture and the type of kids that we're recruiting and the type of kids that we got coming on campus. I think, you know, 2 or 3 years from now, we should be a lot more competitive.
Well, shout out Lawrence, because I actually love Lawrence, Kansas. One of my favorite places I've visited. The Wheel, shout out The Wheel.
Oh, yeah.
Best big shout out to The Wheel.
You know, I love Lawrence. It's definitely a community where they love the Jayhawks. You got Kansas City 40 minutes away, but you get the best of both worlds. You get the college life and the city life. So it's a great, great atmosphere, great town. And
I got to make my way out there.
Talk about a bucket list.
I tell people all the time, even when recruits, especially coming to a game at Allen Fieldhouse, you can't explain it. You have to come experience it. There's no words to explain it. You have to come experience it.
I think I cried a little bit when I went, because obviously I'm a huge Kansas fan, but I was also covering it. But I definitely shed a tear walking through those hallways.
Why? Was it because you saw Perry Ellis? One of your favorites?
Hey, I wish Perry Ellis could play forever. They should just give him lifetime.
I know, right?
That would be – he earned it. He deserves it.
Yeah. No, Perry, he's going to go down as one of the all-time, you know, favorites. From little kids to old ladies, they love Perry.
I bet they do. He's an
unbelievable kid.
Well, would you guys ever – would anyone on your coaching staff – I know this is going to seem random, but I just saw a commercial on the TV over here with a Christmas suit. Would anyone on your coaching staff ever show up at one of these games right before Christmas in, like, a full-on Christmas suit?
See, that's what you got to wear tomorrow. Like a,
you know, like
– Hey, well, I will take the credit for that one. If it's anybody on our staff –
It'd be you.
Probably be me, yeah.
Oh, I'm hoping that comes up at some time. There should be a bet where if you lose, you got to wear the full-on Christmas suit. That'd be hilarious.
That would be fun.
You would rock it, though. You would rock it.
Yeah. I'll make sure I have some nice shoes or something nice.
There you go.
Something to pop.
Or maybe some Christmas socks. That'll be good.
Right.
That'd be awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We'll let you get to your film meeting. And good luck.
Hey, this is not, you know, I'm really serious. Like, I really enjoy myself. Usually when you're doing some type of interview, you kind of, you know, waiting for it to get over with. But, you know, we've been talking. Minutes and it only seemed like five, so I had an unbelievable time. You guys do an unbelievable job, and I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you so much. You're welcome anytime you want to come rap about Baker Mayfield or, you know, The Wheel. I'm ready. We'll talk to you after the first couple bowl games and see how much the tide is rolling.
Yep.
Sounds good.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Good luck tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks. Yeah.